Breakfast Benz podcast. Tim Benz, glad that you're with us. We get set for the AFC and NFC championship games this weekend. Pleased to be joined right now by Seren Petro from Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. He's always kind enough to join us when we talk Chiefs. Usually it's Chiefs Steelers. In this case, it's Chiefs in the AFC championship game against the Cincinnati Bengals, an AFC championship game that will be played at Kansas City, a home venue. Enjoy it while you can, because I'm under the impression that we might not see this much longer, maybe even next year. Seren, let's start there. Are Chiefs fans lapping up the chance to have an AFC championship game at home? Your city has been involved in a lot of these lately. Do you think moving forward we're going to see it at neutral site venues?
I do, and I think that's one of the reasons why the potential to have played a Chiefs-Bills game, or not the potential, the fact that they were going to play the Chiefs and Bills at a neutral field in Atlanta was so quickly put together. I think that was part of the influence of when they were trying to figure out, which, you know, we could talk for days around here whether or not they did a good job of how they were going to figure out to make it fair for everybody with that game not being played between the Bills and Bengals. I think absolutely they had a chance to run a test run on something that they've got in the back of their mind. I think we're hearing similar things probably from similar type folks in and around the league. I think the league very much likes the idea. They think they've got a marketplace for it. I think that's why they immediately were trumpeting the fact that they had 50,000 tickets sold in the first day. Now, that, as we all know, I mean, at least maybe everyone doesn't know, you know, the secondary ticket market works hand in hand with your concerts and with your teams. And a lot of those tickets were bought by the secondary ticket market. So it's not like butts were already ready to be in seats. But, you know, it was clear that the secondary ticket market said these will sell. They gobbled them up and they were ready to put them on the market. And I think the NFL feels like they can take the moneymaker that is the Super Bowl and have a couple of diet versions leading up to it. And I think you're right. I think we are going to see it because it means more money in the pocket of the owners.
So, Seren, moments before I called you, I was doing another podcast with Bob Labriola, who's from Steelers.com, Steelers team historian, kind of oversees the newly opened Steelers Hall of Honor Museum. And we were talking about this topic, and he said it's a little bit ironic insofar as, you know, back in the day, the way he remembers it is that Dan Rooney and Lamar Hunt used to kind of go back and forth about this topic, because Rooney always wanted to see the home cities have the AFC championship game. And Lamar Hunt back in the day really was in favor of neutral site for AFC title games, in large part because he thought, especially with Arrowhead first being opened up, that it would get a lot of AFC title games as a neutral venue. Do you remember any of that conversation, or has that come up at all this week?
You know, I don't, but it sounds like Lamar. Listen, Lamar was always very much, you know, pro the league. I mean, he was the guy that when he founded the AFL, the revenue sharing was an AFL idea that he came up with and really helped solidify and strengthen that league and allow it to compete with the NFL and then make it worthy of merging with the NFL. He always had a big picture, maybe to a fault. You know, his teams were quite bad in, you know, after the run of the championship in 1970, they had a couple more years, and then they fell on hard times and went to only one playoff in 1986, from like 74, 73, something like that, to 86, one playoff, and then they didn't get in again until Marty Schottenheimer came in 1990. So, yeah, hey, who cares? That game's not going to be played here on home field. It sounds like something he'd absolutely be for. One, just because I think he always thought of the league first and then his own franchise second. But, you know, he did have those visions of big things. But listen, and right now it's of note because the Chiefs and Royals, their stadium lease is up in 31. The Royals are pushing much harder and have already said they're moving downtown to a new ballpark. So we know that's coming, and they want to get it done long before that 31 date comes around. The Chiefs seem more content to just ride this lease to the end and then step off to whatever's new. But, you know, I've talked to a lot of people and there doesn't seem to be much interest in putting a retractable roof stadium in Kansas City, which is frustrating because Kansas City's hosted more Final Fours still than any city out there. And now they had a bunch of them right in a row where they were in Municipal Auditorium for years early on. But there's a lot of pride in the college basketball side and in having a big events. And so you would think the Chiefs would spearhead that and want to be the team that wants a domed roof so that they could get back into the big event season in the winter. And, you know, we know now that, like, any idea of playing these championship games in cold weather, I don't think so. Now, maybe they'll do it a different way, and football is meant to be played in the cold, but I'll bet you when it's all said and done, it's warm weather and domes, and I think that means big paydays or big paychecks for a lot of people to build some new buildings for anybody that's got an outdoor stadium.
Seren Petra with us. I bet you're right about all that. I'm completely in lockstep with your opinions there. You can listen to Seren 810 WHB in Kansas City. How about this game? How do you see it playing out against the Bengals?
You know, I think everybody was empowered watching Patrick Mahomes walk to a podium first, and then the limited video that gets to be shot at practice when they're stretching and warming up. You know, I don't know that anybody's done a knee raise and had more people staring at him doing a knee raise when Patrick Mahomes raised his left knee as part of the stretching and had all his weight on one foot. Certainly everybody was watching, and you could hear the camera shots being snapped as he walked up the stairs. Everybody wanted to get a picture of him, you know, climbing the stairs. I think people feel better. But let's be honest, people have been through ankle sprains. You can kind of fight through it and go straight forward, just walk, but he's going to be asked to play football and evade 300-pound men coming at him with bad intent. What's he going to be? We have no idea, and we're not going to have any idea. I think it's pretty clear he's going to play, you know, and he'll be out there. And the question is 60%, 50%, 40%? How much of Patrick Mahomes is better than Chad Henne? I think the feeling in Kansas City is 10% is better. Yeah. Not that they don't like Chad Henne. He's kind of becoming a folk hero. His 98-yard touchdown drive empowered a lot of people to feel a lot better in that divisional game against the Jaguars, and he is a competent quarterback that's, you know, like most quarterbacks, much better than his career numbers with Andy Reid calling the shots. But they want Patrick Mahomes out there. They feel pretty good that he's going to be out there. And they feel pretty good that the Bengals are running their mouths a lot. You know, the Chiefs chirped a little bit the last game and got their nose bloodied, lost it, a game that they could have won if Travis Kelce didn't fumble late, which gave the Bengals a chance to get back on the board. I think there's a quiet confidence, but certainly nobody thinks this game is in the bag by any stretch of the imagination.
How have they remained so offensively, how do I want to phrase this, threatening all the time, even though Tyreek Hill isn't around anymore?
Yeah, the Coach of the Year, you know, candidates are out, and Andy Reid's not in there, and I get it. You know, once you get to that level, you rarely win that award. But, you know, coming into the season, this was a team that a lot of people said, well, their run in the AFC West is over. Look at all the talent that's around there. Not only did they win that again, they crushed it. Well, this offense ain't going to be the same without Tyreek Hill. It's not. But it's still number one in yards, number one in points. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and of course the rest of the coaching staff, did a great job in kind of redesigning the offense. They focus, it's what Andy Reid does, always focus on your strengths, minimize your weaknesses. He did that. They went back to work. You know, they still have guys that can stretch it deep. Mecole Hardman, when he's healthy, hasn't been for a while, you know, half a season, but they're maybe going to get him back this week. But Marquez Valdez-Scantling, they got another speed guy that can at least force you to go cover him, that can take the top off. They added Kadarius Toney. They can still do that. But their intermediate and underneath stuff, you know, they're much better equipped to handle the shell defenses, the dropping seven, dropping eight. You know, Jerick McKinnon has emerged, 9 touchdowns, catching the ball out of the backfield that ties the NFL modern record for touchdown catches by a running back. And 8 of those came in the last, like, 5-6 games. You know, they really figured out, okay, you're going to take Travis Kelce away, we'll beat you over here. It's been a great performance from Andy Reid, and really a chance for him to flex his offensive muscles as to how he can diagnose what it is you're trying to do to him. And, you know, look, it did take him an off season. You know, they retooled what they're doing in the off season because these defenses gave him a little more trouble last year, even with Tyreek Hill. But it's just a testament to, one, Mahomes' ability to mature as a quarterback and take more of the short stuff, take more of the underneath stuff, and Andy Reid's ability to always find what is the weakness in whatever defense you throw at him and do his best to exploit it.
I'm looking at one line right now that's got the spread as a pick'em. I've seen the Bengals favored by a point and a half, the over-under at about 47. What do you think in terms of the spread and the fact that the Chiefs just flat out aren't an obvious favorite playing a championship game at home? How's that playing?
I think as a gambler, anytime I get a chance to get points or to give less than a field goal with Patrick Mahomes, I'm going to take it. Now, that theory is tested heavily by that ankle, but I will throw in with the magic of Patrick Mahomes. Now, if you're a Bengals fan, hey, you know, my guys beat him 3 times. That's a valid point. I mean, this is the toughest spot to do that. But if you believe in those kind of adages, you know, there are going to be times you walk up there and go, God, I can't believe I'm doing this. And a lot of times, most times, you'll walk away going, I'm a genius. I knew what I was doing. You always ride with Patrick Mahomes if that number gets low. So I will take the Chiefs based on that, right? I think there's plenty of football reasons to think that this game will be a coin flip again. And if it is a coin flip, the Bengals have proven to be the better team finishing games against the Chiefs. So there's a lot of reason to take the Bengals. The reason I will say that I think you can just bet Mahomes is I don't think that what is the Bengals' biggest weakness got a chance to be exploited by the Bills last week, and that is those backup offensive linemen. Tim Grunhard was a Pro Bowl center for the Chiefs here in Kansas City. I talk to him every week, and you know, on Tuesday he said, listen, snow is an offensive lineman's best friend. If you can mess up the footing, he said, wet, sloppy, bad footing is bad news for defensive linemen, and it makes the job of the offensive lineman easier. I'll take that experience and the game that they played against Buffalo. I think Tim's probably right, and that probably helped the Bengals mask their deficiencies on the offensive line. Now, listen, they weren't very good with the offensive line last year, and they still managed to keep Joe Burrow pretty damn clean against the Chiefs, and Chris Jones has this, you know, albatross around his neck of never having had, with all his success rushing the passer, zero playoff sacks. He talked about it at the podium last week. I assume he'll talk about it tomorrow when he's up to talk to the media. You know, there's a reason to believe that they will be able to handle it, but there's also reason to believe that what is their problem? The offensive lineman they lost can be exposed. The Chiefs defensive line was playing better than it's played all year. They were second in the league in sacks. I think that's where this game will be won or lost. If the Bengals O-line handles the pass rush of the Chiefs, it could very well be a long day for the Chiefs, and the Bengals don't even need a close one. But if the Chiefs' defensive line and their front can get to Joe Burrow while still dropping seven themselves, then I think this game could be a long day for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Final thing, Serenigan. Seren Petro is with us from Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. Juju Smith-Schuster, how is he playing, and how is the whole dancing on logos social media thing? It seems like it's been awfully quiet on that front with Juju this year.
Yeah, I'm sure that conversation was had when the contract was being put together, that's not what we do here, that's not going to be accepted. And that's easier to do when, you know, you've got that kind. You want it? You want the contract? You got to do it. Then when somebody kind of grows up on your watch, you know, Justin Reed popped off, as I mentioned, the last Bengals game. And you know, he got a stern talking to, and he was even frustrated and wouldn't talk to the guy who filmed it. I don't know why it was his fault, but he got frustrated and wouldn't talk to him for a day or two or a week or two. Andy Reid makes it crystal clear they don't want any bulletin board material, and they have gone out of their way to make sure that they are nothing but complimentary and nothing talking about nothing but themselves. The Bengals are doing a lot of talking, and this would be the prime time for Juju to step up and maybe, you know, fire something out or get a social media post out there. That hasn't happened. And the Chiefs have been really pleased with what Juju's brought to the team. You know, he had some injuries in the middle of the year, which is kind of par for the course, and I think they probably expected it. It's why they put all the incentives into his deal. By the way, I think he's checked off each one of those incentives to maximize his contract. And I think the Chiefs would like him back. However, he's probably the number one, unless somebody else is cut, the number one wide receiver on the free agent market. And I don't know if they can make that marriage work next year. We said it's probably going to be threading a needle. Either if he plays really well, he wants to get to the market and test it. If he doesn't play well, you don't want to sign him. So this always looked like it was probably going to be a one-year marriage. But so far, it's worked out really well. He was at the podium yesterday, talked about how excited he was to finally be in an AFC Championship game, get a chance to play for a shot at the Super Bowl. And I think it's gone really well between the Chiefs and Juju. And I think, you know, the Chiefs have needs at wideouts. They don't have many signed for next year. Mecole Hardman is a free agent as well. So I think there'll be some conversations about bringing him back. And if they can make the money fit, I think there's a decent chance that marriage gets extended.
Seren, thanks so much. I know it's a busy week. Enjoy the game. If the Chiefs win, maybe we can catch up again in advance of the Super Bowl, all right?
Tim, I'd love to do it. It's always great talking to you. I always appreciate all the help you give us. So anytime you need me, brother, just give me a shout.
Seren Petro with us here from Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City.